Hello everybody, how are you all doing? So we're finishing off our series on higher ground, and we started off saying that we must remember this is not a set of rules for us. This is not a checklist that you and I tick the box and, okay, I've done it. This is really, and I hope this encourages you to go and read the Sermon on the Mount. I trust that this will just stir something in you that you can go and let God speak through His word into your life. The things that we need to change, the things that we need to adjust in our lives, let the Holy Spirit speak into your life about that. So as we study scriptures and apply it to our lives so that we can live on higher ground, we started with Matthew 5:20. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Remember, in those days, the Pharisees set their standard of what they believed it should be. And it's a standard that's focusing on themselves and a standard that's all about them. But Jesus comes from a completely different angle and he puts it out there that it's not about you. It's actually about him and his kingdom. John 14:6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It is all about Jesus, friends. And when Jesus gives us these guidelines, when Jesus gives us this input into our lives, it's not so that you and I can be better so that people can look at us, so that our hearts can change so that we can point them to Jesus. For the king and the kingdom. It's an NCMI saying, but it is exactly what it is. It's for the king and his kingdom. And I think as we studied and we looked at these scriptures, we realized that you and I are called to run on this narrow road. That is difficult sometimes. It's not that easy. The 10-lane highway makes it's a lot easier. You just run there and you do your thing. But we know and we've seen the end of that is destruction. For me and you to operate in this lane, it is adjustments in our heart. And I trust that that's what happened during the course of this, is that those adjustments took place in our lives. And that's why I want to encourage you, when we preach up here, remember, it's a lot of our revelation that God is giving us, and I'm just giving it to you. But I hope that you will go home and you will say, Lord, show me, where do I lack? Show me, where do I need to grow? Show me, what do I need to do? Show me, how do I get involved with your bride? Show me, because that's your revelation that you get from God. I need you to hear from him, not always from DJ, not from the elders. We are here to guide, lead, help, protect. But I tell you what, you hear firsthand from him that changes and shifts your life. And here's the thing, you can hear God for yourself. Okay, you don't need to come to a confession box, hoy your stuff there, and go. We don't do that, friends. You've got an open channel every day of your life that you can speak to God. And that's the amazing thing about our relationship with him, is that we have got this access to this amazing king that's with us. In the morning, when you wake up and your eyes are not even open yet and you haven't had your coffee, God is there. Ladies, even without makeup, he sees you. He knows you. In your best time on the top of the mountain, he's with you. In the lowest valley, when you walk through there and you feel, man, I'm so alone, God says, I'm with you. And that's the encouragement that we have with this God that we serve, is that he's always present. He's always with us. It's not a little fat statue that I carry around and I put a remembrance. He's inside of us. He's living in and through us. And I trust that as we looked at these scriptures, that you and I will realize that there's some adjustments that we need to do. And we're going to finish this off today looking at Matthew 7, verse 1 to 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you see, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Lack a piece of scripture this. Yeah. You know what? I think sometimes we read the first two lines and we say, judge not or you'll be judged. And we close the book and we leave it there. And when people do come and they speak into our lives, you go, no, no, scripture says don't judge me. You're not allowed to judge because you will be judged. So stop it. And in a way, it's right, hey? But you and I, as we know, and if you speak to people that are teachers and scholars, will tell you, you have to read things in context. You have to look at the scripture and say, what is it saying? What is it talking about? And I just want to open some stuff up here, and we're going to look at. So judge not is don't condemn, look down on others, character and action. Don't look down at people's character and their action. Remember, the Pharisees set the standard what they thought. This is how they lived, and everybody should live like them. And if they couldn't live like that, they would be frowned upon. They'd be like, yeah, you know, what is going on here? Don't look down at people's character and actions. Don't condemn anyone. It will come back to you. Romans 8 verse 1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't condemn people. Don't look down at people. Okay, and if you're tall, it's okay, you have to look down. But what I mean is, don't break people's character down. When people come with their intents or with their hearts, don't break them down. Don't always throw things at them. We are not called to point fingers and breaking people down. Let's go a bit further here. Matthew 7, verse 3 to 5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your own eye, in your brother's eye, and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your own eye. I love how Jesus uses lower grade math. And he actually uses, you know when a book is a good book? When there's pictures in it. That's when it's a good book. My oldest daughter loves reading, so she brings these thick books with no pictures. I'm like, nah, I'm not interested. Give me a book, I want to at least see some pictures in there. Even if I have to color them in. No, I'm joking, I wouldn't know. My fine motor skills are not that good. But Jesus uses pictures. He uses illustrations here. And he says, take the plank out of your own eye before you want to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So the picture is this. You walk around and you go, dude, you got something in your eye. Can I help you with that? Just quickly come here and then let's just take that out of your eye. That's the picture, eh? And it is actually ridiculous. It really is. Because you're like this the whole time. You're smacking the wall. Every time he comes close to you, you're like, and all you see is this, but we judge what's in their lives. No higher grade to this message this morning. Jesus says, take this out first. It's amazing how Jesus always starts with us. Always says, put yourself down. I love that word in the Psalm, Selah, pause. Meditate, think upon. And sometimes in this picture I see Jesus just saying, pause. Just stop where you are. Zip it. Don't talk. Don't sing. Don't do anything. There's something that you need to sort out first. This morning, I want to encourage you. And I trust afterwards we can pray and we can just seek his presence. Say, Lord, there's things in my life that I need to sort out. There's things in my life that I need to take out. As I was sitting there, I honestly feel, and this is not condemning you, this is not judging you, there's somebody here that is struggling with alcohol. There's somebody here that is going through a massive thing with alcohol. And it's actually lording over your life. And I want you to afterwards come to me and Laura or Terry and Lainey, and please let us pray for you, okay? When we were worshiping the whole time, God said to me, there's somebody here that's struggling with that. And none of you are going to see, kom ons kyk wie gaan hom doen. Oh, I want to see. I knew it. Yeah, Mr. Black Label himself. Don't do that. Okay. Even if you want to reach out and phone me afterwards, you can do that. But there's somebody that's got a plank in his eye. God says, remove this plank from your eye. How do we do that? Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Beautiful, beautiful psalm says this. Search me. search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. It's that pause moment that you sit down and you open your life to him and you say, Lord, search my heart. Show me the planks in my life. Reveal to me the things that sometimes I can't see, even though they're in front of me the whole time. Search my heart, oh God. That's the first one. And then the last thing he says there, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Friends, I think as a Christian, as somebody that's in love with God, we got to realize very quickly in our lives, we're not called just to sit. We're called to go. We're called to go and make disciples. We're called to go and bear fruit. We can't just sit the whole time and just do that in introspection the whole time. Lord, search my heart. Don't let him search your heart for 5 years. Okay. Doesn't have to be that long. But when God reveals it, let you and I sort it out. If you need somebody to help you, you do that. You reach out. But friends, you've got the Holy Spirit. And scripture says that he is the helper. He's the comforter. Reach out. Say, Lord, this. But then we get to the last part. It says, and lead me in the way of it. Let him lead you, friends, into the purposes that God has got for every single one of us. Not just me, but every one of us. You've got a purpose in God's kingdom. And that's why I say it so many times. You think your work is not ministry. Friends, you've been called to your workplace to minister there. You can work. Man, there's guys that can do stuff with their hands. I'll stand back and I go, how do they even do that? So my daughter, we bought her a desk. How long will it take you guys to assemble a desk? It took us very long. And can I tell you with shame, she did most of it. I look at that instructions and I go, this is Greek and Hebrew all over. I have no idea what it is. She said, Dad, you do this and this and this. I'm like, well, friends, God has given you abilities that you think, it can't be. Friends, you've got something in your life that God says, I've placed that inside of you to go into your workplace to go and bear fruit. Every single one of us. And when we sit and we pause and we sell out the whole time, you're not bearing fruit. God is pruning. God is sorting out. But there's a time that you and I get up and we say, Lord, lead me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, take me to where you want. And that's where we need to be. So how do I get this plank out of my eye? Lord, search my heart. And once we've done that, you get up and you do what he has called you to do. Carries on. It says, Matthew 7, verse 5. You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Remember in John 8, where they brought the woman that was caught in adultery. And they said to Jesus, okay, so what are we going to do? Because by law you need to stone her. And I love that piece. Jesus just goes and he scribbles in the sand. Hey, I would love to know what he did there. Probably wrote all their sins down. He saw and he goes, yeah, that's me. The next guy goes, yep, that's me as well. And he says, the first one that has no sin, pick up a stone and throw. None of them can do it. None of them can do it because they got plank in their own eyes. But they want to stone somebody that messed up. Friends, you and I are not called to judge people and throw stones. We are not called to call people out on everything they're doing wrong in their lives. Jesus even said, I come to restore. We've got a ministry of reconciliation, friends, of restoring people back. John 8, verse 7, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let anyone who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And we know that story. She looked up and he says, is there anybody here? She says, no, they're all gone. Jesus says, go and sin no more. Like I said, we read the scripture and it says, don't judge. We stop there. We have to carry on and read the whole passage and read it in context. Yes, don't be a hypocrite. Don't point fingers. Sort yourself out first. Remove the plank. Walk the narrow road and allow the helper to help them. But then it comes to this piece. You remove the speck from your brother's eye. It's amazing how walking on this narrow road always starts with me and you, like I said. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then it says also, love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, you and I got to understand that Jesus is saying you need to love yourself. Okay. So sometimes you got to walk past that mirror and go, hey, you're like a dung. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, man, I'm not so bad. You know what's the thing? You are looking at them the same lenses that you look at yourself. If you look at other people through those lenses, you're going to look at them the same way that you see yourself. If you don't love yourself and everything about you is wrong and everything is miserable and everything is this, if I see somebody in front of me, I'm going to see that same thing because I'm looking through those lenses. Yeah, I'll check this miserable little plank that's walking here. Check this clown that's driving in front of me. Look at this because that's the glasses that I've got on. But when I go to Jesus and I fall in love with him and he sorts my heart out, friends, and trust me, I'm not saying that you and I need to be like bragging about ourselves. Okay, don't get too overconfident. Okay, then we'll bring you down to earth again. We'll help you. But look at yourself and go, man, I'm God's creation. I'm created in his image. He loves me. He sent his son to die for me. He places me here for a purpose. You look at yourself and you understand, man, God loves me. Like I said, walk past that mirror and blow a kiss and go, hey, you're lucky, dang, and hit that day. Just do it. I do it most of the mornings. I love myself. Can we lose weight? Yeah. Can we be more healthier? Yeah. Can we stop watching soccer because it irritates us? Yeah. Can we do all these things? Yeah. But friends, just accept who you are. There's some of you that are 50, 60, and you're still moaning about your big nose and your ears. It's going to grow even more. Their hair's gonna come out there, puppy. It's gonna look like a jungle in there. It's okay. Because we're all gonna get old. We're all gonna get there. Love yourself. It's very important that you guys just grasp this morning, that you look at other people with those lenses. And when you're okay, yeah, you look at other people very differently. Very, very differently. And you have that love that God gave to all of us, that unconditional love. Friends, imagine just this handful of people in this building today can have unconditional love in Edenvale. We can change the city. You can change your environment. You can change your workplace. You can change your family dynamics if you just bring God's unconditional love into that situation. Let's just fall in love with him. Start with yourself. Sort that log out. Scripture says then remove the speck from your brother's eye. Quickly look at this scripture, Galatians 6, verse 1. I read this and it was actually quite something. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly, not perfect, okay, should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall in that same temptation yourself. Paul writes to the Galatian church and he gives them exact handles. How do I take the speck out of my brother's eye? Because here's the thing, and I actually wanted to end with that, but there's the plank and the speck, and both of them need to be removed. But I tell you what, when that plank is removed and I see a sawdust in my brother's eye, you and I need to go to them and say, man, there's something in your life. Let's look at this. Let's change this. Why? Because we love them. When I see my daughters going off a path and doing something wrong, I'm not going to stand there and go, yeah, you got to learn your lesson. You can cop like a stump. Get it? Cray for you. If I see them going down, you want to go help because you love them. The same love we have for our family, the same love we have for each other. When you see something in their life, this is the thing. You don't condemn. You don't break down. You don't climb into their character. You gently and humbly just come alongside them and say, how can I help? So the first one is gently. Gently. You gently take a speck out of somebody's eye. Not go there and go, listen here, Chopi. There's something in your life we need to sort out. Come here. Come here. No, that's not gentle. Hey. Yes, I said to Laura so many times, she's an amazing counselor. She's an amazing person with an ability to sit and listen to people. If I tell somebody to do something and the third time they don't do it, I want to bring that plank and I want to give you a hiding. But you don't listen to me. Why must I? Why are we doing this? So, gently speak to that. I need to learn. Lord, give me that gentleness. Look at the scripture, Isaiah 40:11. talks about God here. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. How beautiful is that? Keeps them in his arms and he gently leads them. Friends, when your brother or your sister, your friend, somebody in closeness with you are going through a difficult time and you can see, man, there's something here that's not of God, just pull them close, get next to them, love them, and direct them into the right ways. So gently and then humbly, humbly sit with that person. Scripture says, Romans 3:23, who have sinned? All have sinned and fall short of the glory. So you can't go to that person with that thing in his eye and go, yeah, I actually don't know what you're talking about, eh? I'm like, look at me. I'm a whitewashed guy. This is me. I don't have anything wrong. Humbly go to that person and say, but I just want to tell you, but that's like an Edenville word, eh? But where did that one slip out of? In Edenville, it's either boot or brew. Hey, brew. Brah. Now, that's when teenagers become teenagers, hey. It's not when your mom and dad anymore. So, bruh, where did that come from? Friends, humbly, just go with that person, sit with them. Because you know what? I'm going to need that one day as well. I need somebody that can check my blind spots for me. And it's usually at a time that you don't want to hear it. It's usually at times that you don't want to, but that person just comes next to you and say, you know what? There's something here in your vision you can't see. I just want to help you with that. What's our first reaction? You're probably going to get a bit upset, eh? Because it's most of the time my wife telling me these things. Is he lack of it for now afterward? So, you know, what? Check about this, you know? Like, I've always joked with you guys. The other day again, she goes, Leafy, when did last I see you at the gym? I'm like, don't start with that, eh? But there's a blind spot here that I don't always see. And when you have somebody in your life that you're accountable to, they don't talk to you about it because they hate you or they got the worst for you. They do it because they love you. And I pray that every single one of us will have that person that can check our blind spots for us, humbly and gently. But I love how he ends here. He says this. And then, be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So you listen to that story. You see what they went through. You pray for them. And then Paul says, but be careful that you don't fall in that same trap. And that's where the two of you can stand together and say, Lord, help us in and through this. Help me through this. Young people, you've got temptations, you've got things. Help each other through this. Like I said to you, it's removing the plank and the speck. I went to have a lucky haircut, and it doesn't look like it, but I had a haircut. Now, I don't know about you guys. I just found one thing out. I can't see the back of my head. I tried. I can't. So that guy's got to take the mirror and hold it up, so I can see if it's properly done. So it feels okay, but sometimes it doesn't look so lacquer. That guy holds that mirror up. Hope City, can you and I be that person that holds the mirror up for somebody sometime? Just so that they can see, oh, hang on, there's something here. Hang on, there's something in my life. And also have somebody in your life that can hold up a mirror for you, that can just show you, hey, you're a bit off track here. You're a bit off track. I don't know if anybody here knows anything about sailing or ships. But apparently, if you are 1 or 3 degrees off, you will miss your destination by, I think they said 20 kilometers. If you're off, they don't drive. What do? Sail. It's a steering wheel, man. They drive the thing. If you sail your ship, and it's 2 degrees off, you miss your destination. The enemy will do anything to take you just 2 degrees off. But if I have somebody with that mirror, yeah, somebody standing next to me says, DJ, you're 1 degree off. Just align you. I'll be back on track on the narrow road running my race as God has called me to run. 1 degree off, friends. Jesus says, I just need you to come back. And sometimes we just need that friend, that partner, that accountable person in our lives that just says, amen, there's something in your eye. Can I help you? But that means we need to take the plank out of our own eyes first. It starts with us. Can I ask the band to come up, please? Like I said, this sermon, this piece, there's no high grade about this. Check your own heart. Sort your life out so that you can be good fathers. Take that plank out of your eye so that you can be good for your husband, your wife, your kids, for your spouse, for your friend, for your community, for your workplace. Sort that plank out. And when I say sort that plank out, I'm not talking about your husband, okay? I didn't say that. Sort that plank out in your life. Can I ask that we stand together?